11:57.
All right, so at 11:57, we'll open the meeting. First, we want to do in order? Are we doing this in order?
No, we want to do other so that they can speak first.
Yes.
We want to do other. Where's that?
On the bottom.
Way down number 9.
Number 9. Any other business? Okay. So we're going to skip to number 9. Any other business?
So it's my understanding you guys wanted to kind of know what our funding plan was given all the uncertainty of the federal grants. Is that right? Or?
Well, just it'd be nice to know, yeah.
Okay. Well, and if there's anything else, just let me know. But so as you probably know, through the town, we applied for the $25,000 grant, which we did for the last 2 years, which we were awarded. And then the Lake Eden Association on their own applied for an additional grant that would cover, if we got the permit for herbicides, would cover that and everything else. That was $94,000.
Who's that one through?
That was through Lake Eden. They were both through Lake Champlain Basin program.
Okay.
$25,001 the town was the applicant, and the $94,001 the Lake Eden Association was. So we got both of those, which we were very excited about, and it's more money than we would need, no matter what we would do. However,
you do have these secured both.
It's tentative, so it's changing every week and sometimes every day. So first they were frozen. Yeah. So
I mean, they were awarded.
So
then,
yeah, they were.
They don't have those checks yet. So
yeah, yeah. So
your account. That's what I'm saying. So
on both grants.
On both grants, they were awarded.
Okay.
But we never get the money until the work is done and reimbursed. However, the federal government froze everything, and this has gone back and forth a few times. Right now, both of those grants are in process, meaning they're moving forward with asking us for different information and our work plans and all of that. However, what they're telling us is they can't guarantee that they'll ever go to contract, meaning that we'll ever really get the grants. And they don't know themselves, like Champlain Basin Program, because there's been chaos. You know, they just don't know what's going on. So for plan B, you know, if plan A worked, we'd have more money than we needed, and we'd probably end up giving $50,000 back. So plan.
Not a good plan.
You would only get what you need.
We can't spend on anything but those things.
Right. So you only get. So yeah, we submit receipts at the end, and if they give us a grant for $25,000, and we spent $24,000, we're only going to get the $24,000.
Yeah, or if you get reimbursed for expenses.
And the expenses have to be part of the original plan we submitted. Can't add stuff.
Right. So, and I applied for that second grant this year through Lake Eden Association because there was a tentativeness about, well, first of all, there wasn't enough time to get your permission because we found out about the deadline, within 48 hours of the deadline. So there wasn't enough time to get select board approval of having the town apply for that grant. So we scrambled and Lake Eden applied for that grant. And also because we weren't sure if the town would be okay with paying for herbicides given the climate and everything, you seemed a little tentative. So we kind of had two different grants going, and so if we got both, we would have more than enough money and we'd get some money back, but we were more than covered. So now that that's somewhat tentative, we had to go to plan B. So I found out that state of Vermont has some funds that they actually have in-house that are not federal funds or state funds that are still available. And so the GRETA program is not at risk. And through that same grant, you can apply for a management project, meaning the mildew mitigation. So I'm in the process, that grant is due on March 21st. I'm in the process of writing that application. However, they're probably only going to pay 50% of the cost. That's kind of, they can pay up to 75, but she said typically they're going to pay no more than 50% of your actual costs. So the remaining amount, let's say we have to use that Vermont grant and we only get to pay half our expenses, the remainder of those expenses would be paid for out of the money we have left in the funds that the town appropriated for the last 2 years. And there's roughly 23,000 left in that. So we think that that would be enough. If I don't get this grant, you know, because it's a competitive grant, you know, I think I'm doing a good job, but who knows, you know, we may not get the grant. Then our third option would be to use the 23,000 that we have left in town appropriate funds and then draw from Lake Association fundraising funds that we have. That's always been sort of a last resort option because we've known that grants are volatile, as we're seeing more than ever this year. So we'd always like to use that as a last-ditch effort, because at a certain point these things are gonna freeze up. I mean, in the last couple of years with the state alone, it was $500,000 to go around to all lakes. Then the next year in 2024 it was $250,000. Now this year it's $800,000. Like, so you don't know. And the federal funding was lots of money there, and now it's like no money. So it's just, you know, very volatile. So I think we're covered for this year out of any of those plans. Next year would be a whole different story. But we have also hired Arrowwood Environmental, and we've come up with a very detailed technical 5-year management plan that is, you know, based on science, experience of other lakes, the unique qualities of Lake Eden, and, you know, best practices for managing milfoil. And I'll share that with you where
we'll I haven't submitted done. It yet, yeah, but it's going to be going in any day now.
And
I can send you guys a copy of the PDF of it.
Yeah, so it will show like expected expenses and everything if you do this treatment, if you do that treatment. So we're trying to just be very effective in how we treat it and how we manage the money to treat it. So we're not just, you know, just very an organized, objective sort of plan based on science versus, you know, kind of just winging it. So and that's something the state likes to see, and we'll be submitting that to the state as well. So we feel like we're in a good situation where we know what we're doing, and we're also involved in a group that's run by the Federation of Vermont Lakes and Ponds that is a group of all lakes treating with herbicide or planning to. So there's a lot of collective information sharing and support through that group. And then I'm also like in another little subgroup where we're kind of working towards trying to get some legislation change so that people can use herbicide earlier than later, because if we were able to use it 3 years ago,
yeah, you wouldn't be
we would have used it
you
on
actually
a,
could have eradicated
a small
it,
spot yeah. Oh, yeah. We probably could have eradicated it, but let's even say if we didn't, we would not be where we are right now,
right.
And now we're looking at having to use it on a much larger area and 3 different areas versus 1 smaller area. So Joe's Pond, who got it last year too, you know, we're kind of working with them trying to see, it's probably low probability, but if the state would even consider them as a pilot program to do that so we can get some evidence. There are other states in the country that
they just recently got it last year.
Yeah. So, and you know, then hearing all their stories, they're like, oh my God, like, you know, so, yeah. So that's kind of where we're at. And like Vinny said, you know, we're going to continue whether we get the herbicide permit or not. Or, well, if we get the permit, there'll be, in case anybody asks, there'll be an opportunity for anybody that has concerns or support of it to go online and make their concerns or support heard. And
is that anybody or just people around the lake?
Anybody.
Okay.
Anybody. It's public. It will be open to the public.
In the letters that we just sent out to everybody that lives on the lake, basically have a link to that state site that basically says these permits are being applied for. You'll be able to see them and the status of them by clicking here, and you'll also be able to know when the open forum starts.
And all that stuff will be publicized, so people know how to do that. And then based on that, if they get, you know, negative feedback or concerns or, you know, people against it, the state would hold a public forum in which people would be able to come to, and there'll be, you know, probably not unlike what we did last year here. And people would be able to voice their concerns, and the state would take that into consideration for going forward. So
before their sides went in, you'll have one.
All before they even
The public forum is not the public forum that the state puts on only occurs if there's been
a bunch of negative feedback.
Yes.
But you guys will hold one. You're saying you'll hold.
No, the state does it all.
Yeah, the state
will do it. Okay. It will be all done by the state and their process.
It probably will look and feel like what we've already done. Quite frankly. Yeah.
But will that be held here? Some state decides all of that.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
So the people may have to travel then to get to that.
My guess is they would do it locally. I would hope.
No, I think they would do it locally.
That's why I was wondering if it's like you guys did here at the.
I think it's been done. When it's been done with other lake, it's been locally.
Okay, they're trying to make it easy for people.
Well,
that's what I was wondering.
I'm just asking because it is a state.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Now, if there's no dissent and everything, then they move on to making a decision, yay or nay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So if we get the herbicide, you know, we'll if we get a final permission, we'll do that, and we'll continue that this same year with hand harvesting. We may or may not do DASH. It might depend on how effective the herbicide treatment was. The following year or two, it's in our plan to do just DASH, but probably less frequently than we've been doing, so it'll be less money, and do hand harvesting. And so as I mentioned in there, if we do the herbicide, that whole estimation is about 47,000. The second year, we expect we'd spend about, you know, 16-ish thousand on DASH and hand harvesting stuff, and about the same the next year. If we don't do the herbicide, we're looking at 30 to 35 every year going forward. And it's increased a little bit. We've been spending about 25, 26 on mitigation. I upped it by about 5,000 or more going forward, because we'll end up losing, if we don't do herbicide, we'll end up losing our volunteer hand harvest team, because they're getting very burned out, and they're feeling like with the boat launch area just continually reinfecting the rest of the lake, and that we can't address that with the other available means, they're starting to feel like, why are we busting our asses? And they're all volunteers, and you know, the youngest guy is what, like probably you, 60 something. You know what I mean? So we've got, you know, Justin. We have Justin.
Any thought of building like where the boat launch is, some type of cove where the boats only go through one area in the middle, where it wouldn't keep spreading it through? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Any thought?
I think if you did something like that, that could help from the boat traffic. You know, ripping it up and all that stuff,
because that's so shallow through there,
right? But it's not just the boat traffic. It's just as the plant grows, it gets denser and denser and denser, and then it just starts breaking apart and floating all over. So whether the propeller just accelerates the whole process, but if you don't have the boats going through there, it's still going to keep spreading and just drift off into the other parts of the lake.
It's a very fragile plant, especially in the fall. It becomes brittle almost.
Yeah.
But even fish going through it. Waves from wind, you know.
Birds.
Yeah. And in terms everything. Of.
Because
you know,
when it gets really. It actually lays on the top of the water. And it goes up, and then it just lays on top like a big bed. And
I actually wonder this year, which I put in my grant report to support it, whether it's true or not, it's just what I'm saying. But the loons, you know, we have a man-made loon nest down there that they have used every year because it floats a little bit offshore to protect them from predators, and it's got to cover whatever. This is the first year, and that's actually where a lot of milfoil is. This is the first year they didn't use that nest. They went down in a less protected area, further away from the milfoil, and I think because that was
disrupting
them. Yeah. So, and I think that having a lane, I don't even know, honestly, we'd have to go through Fish and Wildlife if that, they seem very reluctant, you know, they didn't even want us to corridor off areas, and we did it, you know,
when we had the first infants, we put buoys around.
Yeah, to prevent people like from coming out from the campground and the shore to go in that while we could do it, but technically that wasn't allowed.
But to FYI, they were supposed to dredge the boat launch this past fall, and they pushed it to the spring.
They're supposed to do it again. They're supposed to do it this
spring. That's just going to stir the stuff up.
I know.
Well, yeah, but right now, boats, you know.
But they're going to take out.
It's so shallow, boats can't get in and out.
Hopefully, they're going to just take out some of the plants, too.
I don't know. They ought to let the water down, like you were saying, if you're going to dredge it, right?
I've been saying it since we started this.
I understand the rest of the lake, they don't want to. It's not. They don't consider it, but it's...
the whole lake is...
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying it's a state access in there. So I can see where their point is. They don't want to give anything anymore. They don't give anything. But that is the area where it's really got a lot of it, is my understanding.
Yes.
And it's the hardest end of there to get, but there's boats coming in and out, and it says it's a state access in there, that they take care of that area. All right, the rest might be somebody else's that to take care of, which I don't think it is, because... But if they took care of that, that would be a big help. If they were to try to figure out how to put the mats and take care of that.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I know, I agree with you completely.
Because
there's
like
so
everybody,
many parts of this process that are broken, you know what I mean?
But yeah, because right now, there are state laws about controlling invasive species and do all, but there's no mechanism for who's technically they are responsible, but they don't have the money or the manpower to do it. And it's always been lake associations that take the lead in this. That's the way it is. That's why Federation of Vermont Lakes and Ponds kind of came to be.
For me, my head in here is okay. Yeah, that's all they want. If they took care of their area, then the other two spots logically would be.
Collect revenue that comes from the lakes and ponds, but you maintain it.
Exactly. Right. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to say, like, listen, this is the problem, and you guys need to do something, but we're not going to do it. You need to. And then you're like, oh, shit, okay, we'll step up, we'll learn, we'll start figuring out everything we've been doing over the last 2 years. And then they're like, well, if you want to do this, you can get some grants. So, like, how do we do that? And then you get into the world of this grant stuff, which makes your head spin, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, you can apply. No, denied. You're like, I'm so trying to help you clean this lake up.
And there's money.
You know?
Like, it's going to cost us
$500
to
do that.
Right. And then they say no.
Over here. Yes.
You know, it's going to cost us $500 for the permit.
Crazy.
But also, we spent about $5,000 or $6,000 in developing this long-term plan, which they require, too.
Require it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
they
so, you know, there's a lot of...
We see that. A lot of
money. A lot of money.
A lot of different things.
Well, just to file a permit is $500. And if they say no, we deny you... Your $500 is gone. You don't get that back.
Well, see,
now, if we applied through the town, it would be zero.
Yeah.
So that's why we help you, right?
Yeah.
And that's one thing.
The thing is, at these grants, what's going to happen with these grants, they'll put you on a thing. You've gotten this much money, so you'll be on like a rotation, like what we've done with our paving. Mm. Your money will slow down.
Over time.
Yeah. Over time.
And
because
you have seen
they've given you too much
over time. They might give you a grant this year. You might be 3 or 5 years. All depends when you fall back.
Right.
The more lakes that get into this stuff,
the more
the rotation.
No,
You may not get a grant for 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
that's why we wanted to save whatever funds we've fundraised for from people around the lake for when, because that time will come.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to just not touch that. That be our last resort because it will drive. And right now we're getting priority because we're. I think this will be the last year. I think we get 3 years. We're considered a new infestation, which bumps us up.
Ends in July.
On every grant.
25.
Next year, we won't be considered new infestation.
Your qualifications will drop back.
Joe's Pond's going to get all our money.
You're right. Exactly.
So, it's a lot. But anyways, that's sort of, you know, our plan.
I still hold with... Get 1,500 feet of pipe, run it to the dam, from the dam to that deepest spot, and start siphoning water off faster than it's coming in until that lake is as empty as you can make it for winter.
Yeah.
Everything would be dead. Then you can start over. They poisoned Lake Elmore, killed every fish in it to try to actually.
The state did that?
The fishing game. Do you remember that?
For what reason?
Well, so Lake Elmore's not very deep, right?
Yeah.
None of it's very deep. It might be 10, 15 feet, maybe. It was all full of these little dace and pumpkin seeds and whatever, and they just couldn't get any bigger fish. So, and I remember when they did it, they had this stuff they dumped out of the back of the boat that took all the oxygen out of the water. And the fish just roll up behind it dead.
Geez.
Then they collected up all the dead fish and killed every fish in there. They poisoned that whole pond and killed it. And then they restocked it with bass or whatever they wanted to put in it, right? That was, boy, long time ago.
I know, it's hard to...
They did the same thing as Zach was. Poisoned the pond, killed everything in it.
Contrary to everything they say to us about...
And put trout.
Can't put anything in the lake.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to reconcile sometimes because
in fairness, 40 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Who knows, you know, who came up with that plan?
Right, yeah. But I'll tell you, I think that's not uncommon with a lot of states, and it's contrary, right? Because in certain cases, they won't let us do certain things because they don't want to disturb the wildlife in the lake. They don't want to corridor off this or lay mats and do all this. And yet, they'll do that. And it was the same in Georgia. I had a situation where we were trying to get Fish and Wildlife to stock a pond. They wouldn't come in and do it unless they first killed off.
Yeah.
Because they want to put everything in
the right ecosystem,
yeah. balance.
Like they
so, but first they're going to kill everything off and drain the pond, and then they would do it.
Wow.
So I think a lot of states operate.
I don't
the same
know
way.
Who did that back then, but I remember them doing it because there was
just crazy
huge fish came up, right? Big ones that nobody'd ever caught.
Yeah.
But
so it's frustrating, you know,
yeah,
because all these things they should be responsible for, they're not, and we are. They do help in that, you know, the state does throw us some money, but, you know, that will dry up.
But once you take that money.
And that, it all depends on who's in charge, right? Last year, whoever, I don't even know, I'm not good with the politics, but, you know, that funding was cut by half, and now this year, now it's double what it was the year before they cut it to half. And so you just never know. But more and more lakes are going to get it. Every year there's going to be more lakes, and so that pot of money, you know, is going to have to be dispersed among more and more lakes. And even the federal grants, it's going to be the same thing. Right. So,
What else is on your mind? Anything relative
you guys covered it very well. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Yeah.
We'll send you guys
the
long-term plan.
Great.
You gotten any feedback or heard anything about, I'm surprised there weren't any more questions about herbicides or anything. There.
Haven't heard of
it. I don't think they have. They will be. When they know that you're getting ready to do that and it's going, I think that,
maybe there'll be some.
But the crowd wasn't very big. It's like,
no, it wasn't.
55%
pretty disappointing.
Yeah. 80, 90, I think.
How was it last? I didn't. I came to.
Yeah, we
I didn't come last year, but the 2 years before that, I went both
90,
years.
Right?
It seemed like a lot less people.
We were pretty light
last year.
Well, that's
what
Bruce wanted to wait because he thought more people would be coming, but
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was last year's? Not similar to this year? Or
no,
or
last year's 80 or 90 usually.
Yeah, that's
what
it was
the year before that and the year before.
Yeah. It's usually 100 or around 100 somewhere in there.
Well, if you hear anything, if you could relay the comments or I'm happy for you to give them my contact information if they want more, you know, information about
anything
really
you're
doing
when,
or the herbicide.
About what you said, I think we should post the YouTube video of your previous meeting. We can put that link
website,
to it on the
website.
That'd
be
great.
I'll send it.
Yeah,
listen, for the people that really care, they'll go and click on it. Other people are just like, well, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know how it is. You got to find the people who really are willing to put the time and effort into fighting something, you know, see who they are.
But I also have been compiling, you know, for those people that might not want to, if they have a particular concern or whatever, I have a lot of documentation and studies and links, you know, that I've been trying to keep a list of based on questions that are coming up so that, and if I don't have it through, you know, these groups I'm involved in, I can easily get the information for people.
My only concern was when I'm thinking about putting herbicides and stuff like that in there is the wells and the springs that are around the lake, you know, the quality of the drinking water. What's that going to do? That would be my only concern.
So it's been shown to not really have any effect, but they will test.
Yeah.
They will do there is a good degree of testing that goes on. They don't just drop
pre
the chemicals and go.
Yeah.
There's multiple.
Somebody has before and then after.
Yeah.
Somebody
it is. Like, listen, I'm not, you never want to put herbicides in water, right? I totally, I'm with everybody on that, but just given our circumstances, I feel like it's the right thing to do. What's crazy about this is that, number one, like EPA, like I was saying, EPA says you can use 25 PDUs, they call it, and we're going to use 3. All the tests and studies and the calls that we've been on, it's actually amazing. They can treat this area, and then they go over here, and the dilution rate is so low that's undetectable, just like 10 feet over, you know? It doesn't act the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like you put it in there, and it just starts to spread throughout the lake.
What does the herbicide, what is the biological activity of the herbicide?
Okay, so we're not biologists, right. But in essence, it's technically really like a growth hormone, and so it makes the plant cells grow so quickly that they
it can't
burst.
Handle it. It just basically disintegrates itself.
So it's
it's sort of just implodes.
So it's very targeted to the species you're trying
it's
to.
It's
very
targeted.
Yeah,
not, that's awesome.
Not
yeah.
just to this
it's
particular
amazing.
Species, because there are other target species that it's been designed for.
Okay. So if we happen to have something else that we didn't know about, it'll grab that while it's on its way.
Well, we've done all
we
the
don't.
Surveys.
So,
we know yeah, every
we
plant that's
so
on the
list. So last year in preparation. For this,
indigenous
we
stuff.
Did a full plant survey so that we know exactly all the natives we have, so that we can look at do we have any that have been sensitive to this, and we don't. The only one which is the least sensitive is lilies, and they've in all other lakes at most, if they've been adjacent to a treatment area or in a treatment area, they have just the leaves have curled up and they've turned brown, but usually by the end of the season. They're coming back, and by the next year, there's like not effect. But there are precautions, like they're going to make us, stay certain. They'll look at where our lilies are, and we have to stay away from the lilies, or we have to corridor off,
right.
You know, with what do you call it?
Those nettings,
the blanket things.
To protect the
lilies.
Yeah,
the weeds in the.
And they'll be looking at the lilies. And assessing the lilies
right.
after, but we don't have any of the other things. Like coontail is one that was more sensitive, and it may have died off. But they, in most lakes, again within 2 years, the population was more than it had been pre-herbicide because the Eurasian milfoil outcompetes the natives
everything,
too.
Yeah.
So
how did you come up?
And we already are missing one native plant that was abundant. What did I mention this? No, it was abundant prior to us getting Eurasian water milfoil, and on the last survey we had this fall, they couldn't find it anywhere.
So. And how did you could apply 25%, but you're going to do the three. So how did that?
Not
percent, but PDUs.
Prescription
dose units.
Right. So how did that? You come up with
the three. We worked with the company that actually does the treatment, and we give them all the stats on our lake and the size and the infested areas, all that stuff. Work with them, and then they come back and they say, you for that amount, because some lakes are just way worse than, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like they're covered there.
Right.
They said, for what you have, this will be effective. So
it's more the concentration of the milfoil and the depth of the lake.
Yeah.
And
all those things. Yeah.
Right,
okay.
And what plants. Some lakes are treating multiple different invasives
okay.
with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's left to biologists.
And that's, and what company, what's
the
Solitude Lake Management?
The company is based in Massachusetts.
Drain it.
Called Solitude. And the herbicide is called Procellacor.
And they're the ones that would do your spraying and they're doing.
They do all of that, yes.
Chemicals
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're part of that report that I'm going to send you guys.
Yeah. I'm just saying, so that's the company that would do the.
That's
they would
the
do
company.
Injections
right
or
now, they're
it,
approved
yeah.
by the state of Vermont. So far, they've been the only ones that have treated lakes
in Vermont.
And so Vermont also, and I don't know exactly what it is, but Vermont would never allow the 25. I think they only allow up to 5 PDUs anyway. I don't know what 25 PDUs, I don't know who's treating, nobody's treating that.
What they're treating is where it is.
But
yeah
but that's what has been proven to be
an effective level
without causing any harm to humans or
species.
Well, that on top of the fact that we're only treating less than 25 acres of 200 acres also is,
so
makes
the state,
it more controllable.
Yeah, they also limit you by, you can only treat 40% of your littoral zone. So our littoral zone basically is defined by 15 feet or less, and we have 65 acres of that. And so the maximum that we can treat in 1 year is 25 acres. So
65.
The littoral zone is 65, but
40%
of that is 25 acres.
Okay.
So it's not a lot. So we're basically going to do the boat launch area, ideally, a much smaller area by the Boy Scout camp, and then the area out by the town
Town Beach.
Town Beach and area.
Those are big
problems. And that's what we would hit with the herbicide. And then all the other areas where it is, it's more like a few plants here and there, and that's what the hand harvesters, And the mats will do. And the mats we've had laid for 3 years now because we've been under, we have never removed them. We've moved them in different areas, but we've been able to keep them through the winter for 3 years now because we've been under a rapid response grant, but that ends in July. Yeah. And so,
now we have different criteria.
We'll have to,
rules.
You have to remove them, like you can't put them down until July 1st, and you have to remove them by October 1st. And that whole process is probably like 2 days on each end, which is like $2,800 and $2,800. Like, that's very expensive.
We can't do that. Yeah. The blankets we can't do on our own. We have to hire those dash guys to go for scuba divers. Because they've got all these blankets are like 40 by 20. They're, you know, and they're big. And they have their weight. Every foot is a rebar, you know. So rolling them up and then getting them out of the water onto the boat. And then they throw them on shore and we have to, like,
clean them and
do everything else.
Clean them and dry them and roll them. And it's like, it's very laborious process dealing and costly.
So the fish, so far the chemicals they've tested, the fish species and the ducks and birds and stuff, there's doesn't
no issues.
Fine.
In fact,
yeah. Okay. Lake George, I don't know if you've been familiar with, and I think you mentioned this last
time,
that Lake George has been fighting for years. It's actually the reverse of what usually happens. The Lake Association didn't want to do the chemicals, and the state Parks and Rec, who manages the lake, did want to. Anyway, it's been an ongoing legal battle for years, and they treated last year. And so Lake George, which, you know, is a huge lake, and they're very, it's actually a very impressive lake association there. They've hired their own biologists and ecologists, and they have all kinds of fancy equipment. And they, because they are bound and determined to find some negative aspects of this. And thus far, they haven't. I've sat in on their follow-up meeting, and they were trying really, really hard. Anything that came up is something that was already known. Like, we know it's going to turn the lilies brown already.
Drinking water was one that I read an article somewhere, was one that Rick was saying. That was because a lot of, as you said, a lot of those people do theirs either get it off or filter it or whatever. And there was some big concerns.
Yeah.
That,
well, I'm telling you.
It's been a while since I followed up on it. I read an article
about
that.
If you're a real critic of it, follow. Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to do our work for us, Lake George, because they're trying really, really, really hard. Yeah. And they're going to follow up again with testing a year later that they're going to do a whole program. I mean, they're spending like,
hundreds
of thousands of dollars.
Water quality and then put it in the water. And
Very.
Well, I knew they were going in there because it was into there. Because that was the article I read in there was basically it was the fish and stuff, but the drinking water because there was so many people around the lakes in there.
It's basically they'll be. I think it might be a 48-hour. I might be a little. I know it's 48 hours they hold you before you can use the lake, but I think it's the same with if you're getting drinking water from the lake. Okay. And that's overly robust period, just 2 days, because it's shown within hours to not even be there. So I think the half-life is 1.68 hours, I just read. So it's like...
So after 8 hours, it's gone.
It's gone.
No detection
of it.
You know?
Now, what
it's
you'll
crazy.
Read if you read the Lake George stuff is that they're finding that it's binding parts of the chemical, not the active parts. The inactive ingredients are binding to the sediment, which is known to happen and reported by the company that makes it, but that also goes away after time. But it's not the active ingredients. One thing Lake George is holding on to. It's in the sediment. Well, we always knew that was going to be that way, that it was going to bind to the sediment for a period of time and then it would go away.
And that's probably a carrier chemical that's inert at some level.
Exactly. It's not one of the active, you know, ones. So, stay tuned to Lake George because they're going to make a lot of things easier for all of us, I think. So, and we have people like Federation Vermont Lakes and Ponds is very up on that, what's going on in Lake George and, you know, involved with that and everything too. So,
Thank you for all the work you've done.
Good information.
Thank you for everything.
Still appreciate the work.
Appreciate the teamwork.
Appreciate the work you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for the award. It really was a surprise and very, very meaningful. I'll hang it proudly.
Make sure you say thanks to my sister.
Did she? I was wondering if it was her that I said it must have been Anna.
Emma's was here today. I didn't see her.
Yeah, we chatted with him. Yeah.
All right. Bryce, thank you all. Thank you all for you do.
Thank you.
And safe travels home.
These two ladies, you better damn appreciate.
Yeah.
Thank you. They're amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, see you guys.
See ya.
Little do they know. All right, where are we going back to now?
Number two.
Okay, number two. Reorganize the select board.
Tim.
Who wants to be the chairman?
Tim.
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
I'd like to make a motion to enter executive session to discuss the employment and evaluation, I shut the door, of the public officers and employees under Vermont statutes of 1 VSA and 3, 1, 3, A and 3.
I'll second that motion.
You have to invite...
Yeah, and I'll invite everybody here to find us.
I can stay.
At what time? So it is 12:33.